Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Man, I just want to tell the worship team, thank you. I want to tell people back there working in the sound booth, thank you. Anybody in here working in the coffee shop, thank you. Y'all that are working down there in the nursery that'll listen to this on podcast, thank you. People down there working in children's church, thank you. Because of what you guys do, it makes it really easy for me to get fired up to do what God's gifted me to do. Oh, man. That's got nothing to do with my message. Just Holy Spirit just right there just ministering to me. That's what, we were singing that song, you never stop working, you never stop working, you never stop working. I was just thinking, man, that sounds like ministry, Lord. You just never stop working. You just never stop working. Parents who brought your kids here today. Grandparents who brought your grandkids in today. Been out working on your job all day, and then now you're going to come to church. The working for the kingdom never stops. You don't get to shut it off. We keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going, and we push through, and we persevere, and we try to have the right mindset and the right attitude. And glory to God that we get to do it. Amen. Glory to God. And so I just want to thank each and every single one of you for being here tonight. Man, I told y'all I'm going to have to be careful. I'm going to start getting excited real quick, because just this whole week, from last week to this week, it's been on my heart just the emphasis of the word. The emphasis of the word and the power of the word and the anointing of the word and what the word brings and what the word does and what the word's about. And there were so many different avenues that I was thinking about going, but I just wanted to kind of follow up with some stuff that we had kind of talked about last week and kind of tie some things in. And see, last week we talked about limitations. And we understood that, you know, even though that we are limited, our God is limitless. And our limitations don't hinder God's limitlessness in us. On the contrary, what we saw was that our limitations were the starting points for God to be able to show up and show out. And I'm not just saying that, it's in the Word. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. See, the scripture is very powerful for us because we can come to terms with the fact that God understands that we're going to have limits, that we're going to have weaknesses. But his power is made perfect in those. And the more that our relationship with God's word becomes clearer and clearer by us looking at scripture, we recognize that this has been God's stance all throughout the history of the world. He's always been like this. Even though that this is found in the New Testament, we understand that it's God working limitlessly in limited people that he moves and he does things all throughout scripture. When he molded mankind out of the dirt, he breathed, he gave life. When he gave Abraham and Sarah their child and he told Abraham to go, he gave the direction, he gave the promise, and then he fulfilled the promise. When he gave Noah the command to build the ark to save him and his family, he was the one that taught Noah. He was the one that showed him where to get the wood. He was the one that gave him direction. Moses giving him the command to lead. He was the one that parted the sea. He was the one that did all the miracles in the desert. He was the one that gave all the word. And the same thing, you can go all the way through the Bible. You can go all through scripture. God's power moved on and through limited people. His people, the people that he chose, in spite of their weaknesses. And every time, whenever God's word comes on the scene, there's change and there's power and there's revelation and there's newness of life and there's new direction. And every time that God's word comes as well, he always, always, always fulfills it. We kind of read part of this scripture last week, but John 5. We were talking about in John 5 last week about the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. And it wasn't until Jesus gave the command to the sick man that he was able to change what was going on in his life. Verse 8, starting there, it says, then Jesus said to him, John 5, verse 8, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and he walked. Each one of us in our own lives has experienced that to some point and some degree. We get a hold of some revelation out of the Word. We hear something that speaks to us, and all of a sudden we begin to go, wait a minute, you're telling me that I can get up? You're telling me that I can get up? But it's only because God gives us the direction and the clear path to go through His Word. What I love about God's Word, too, is that whenever His Word moves, it moves mightily and directly. There's no question. There's no questioning. It's not like, oh, this good thing happens, we get this idea, and then something happens and it goes on. We're like, man, I wonder where that came from. No, you can tell directly who that came from and where that came from. It's God. God's not, wait, surprise, it was me. No, whenever God speaks, it's powerful, it's direct, and it's right to us. And His Word holds anointing. That's the reason why this man was able to go, oh, okay, I'll just stand up with my mat and take it. Another really cool thing about the Word of God, I love that He says, take up your mat. Take up your mat. He says that several times in Scripture. I thought this was a really, really cool point. When you think about that, what did that mat signify to him? What did that mat signify to him? A man who had been sick for 38 years, laying on that mat. That was what used to hold him. Then Jesus said, no, you get up, take up your mat, and walk. See, that whenever the Word of God comes on the scene, you can start taking up the thing that used to hold you, and you get to carry it around now. See, I'm the one who's got the victory here. I'm the one who's the conqueror here. I think about David and Goliath. After David had knocked down Goliath, he pulled out his sword. You think about Goliath's sword. That sword that had held so many people in captivity, that sword that had conquered Golly, it said that he'd been a soldier since his youth. So Goliath had just been all this destruction, all this oppression, this symbol of this bad dude. And David pulls out Goliath's sword and cuts off his own head with it. That's called rubbing your face in it. Okay, that's called the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag right there. That's about as good as it gets. But see, that's what the Word of God does for us whenever we apply it to our life. See, those situations that used to hold us back, those things that used to keep us in captivity, when we apply the Word and the anointing of the Word and we get revelation on it and we understand the relationship that we have through God through the Word, that's whenever we start walking with those situations. See, that depression that used to cripple me and keep me from being able to speak out, no, see, now I understand who I am in Christ, so I walk and I talk and I speak differently than I did. That shame from my past that used to hold me down about the things that I used to do on that old man, that old life, those things will no longer hold me back because of who I am now in Christ. See, it's the Word of God. Take up your mat and walk. It's because that Word has power that we can follow behind the leading and the guiding of it. See, that's why whenever it talks about Scripture being alive, being real, that's what it's talking about. See, if this was just a book, if this was just chicken soup for the soul, this would have no real power over your situation. This isn't just a self-help book or five ways just to think differently about your cruddy situation. No, this is real, applicable direction and instruction and correction for your life. And if you'll take a hold of it, it can change your life for the better for the rest of your life. Take up your mat and walk. You can go beyond the limitations that you used to walk in if we'll start walking in the Word. But it's only in the Word, it's only in the anointing of the Word, it's only after we've been given the clear direction of what to do from the Word that we can take those steps and go, okay, yep, that's firm ground, or oh no, I'm going to fall off there. That's where Christians start stepping off in the wrong thing. See, we start saying that this is what the Word says, and we start building religion, or we start building things off of false pretenses behind what we really want to use this scripture for. And that's where we start getting in trouble. That's where people start being misled. Okay? There's no anointing in that. You know, I'm reminded of the story when the Israelites took the bad report about the promised land. Oh, these men are they're as big as giants. We're as grasshoppers in their eyes. And then God was like, okay, you wicked generation, I'm going to let you walk around for 38 years. Well, they decide, well, no, okay, never mind. We don't want to do that anymore. I'll tell you what, we'll go fight now. And Moses was like, now, guys, God's not with you. Don't go up there. No, he is. We're going to go because he originally told us to go. We're going to go and we're going to go fight. And then it says that the Canaanites literally drove them all the way back, kicking their tails all the way back out of their country. You can't go into situations. You can't go into battles. You can't go into circumstances or try to handle things that we don't already have the words, leadership, and the guidance to go and do. But praise be to God that we've been called to be more than conquerors. Praise be to God that we can find the things that we're going through in Scripture, understand it, get revelation from it, get direction from it, and apply it to our lives and move forward. Amen. We can take up our mat. Even though it makes no sense in the reality of the situation of what's going on, but because God says, I can. Because God says, so am I. Because God tells me how I can think, how I can work, how His Spirit is, I can understand and I can move into newness. But only because God, the Word says. Only because the Word says. It was in my life that it was the Word of God that told me my worth, gave me my direction, and revealed to me that I served a purpose to God. Every single person in here, it was only the Word. It was only the Word being made manifest in your life that you were able to come to a conclusion that, you know what? No, I do have worth. No, I can do something for the kingdom of heaven. No, you know what? I am a new creature. I can begin to think clearly. But it's only through the application of the Word. And here's the greatest thing about the Word. It's that the Word reveals God's will. See, if we understand that the Word reveals God's will, then we know that that's something that God wants for us and that we can do it. Well, I don't know God's will. I don't know God's will. You need to get a relationship with the Word. You need to start walking in the Word. See, if we'll start moving beyond this kind of surface level and start really trying to get the Word in us and around us by who we're hanging out with, by the shows that we're watching, by the music that we're listening to. It sounds like this is just a message for the youth. No, this is a message for all of us, okay? We all need to be watching those things. Beware, for the days are evil. Okay, that's not just a command for the youth of today. No, if we're going to be all that God wants us to be, then we need to start preparing ourselves in the Word, because it's the Word that gives the direction, the anointing, all the stuff we've been talking about. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. God wants you to take it up. God wants you to take up the Word and walk with your mat. God wants you to be able to pull out that sword of that giant that's been in your life, because you've been called a king, you've been called a queen, and it's your job to do it. But we have to get the Word in our life. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says this: as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient and bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. A life worthy of the calling that we have received. The calling that we have received. The Word that God has spoken to you that said, come. The calling that you have received. A life worth living comes from an understanding of the Word. I love this next verse. John 3, 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Where we have the Word, the people that have the Word, the people who are born of the Spirit of God, where the Word is strong in their life, there's nothing holding you back. There's nothing that's keeping you bound to the ground. I love that scripture. I just think about how the wind blows wherever it pleases. And as the Spirit of God begins to work in your life through the Word, and He needs to send you here, you'll go. Or if He needs you to stay here, you'll be there. Or whenever you're here in this person's life, you're doing this. And then whenever you're coming over here and you're doing this. See, there's nothing holding you back because you're not being held back by, oh, I just don't know if I, or oh man, I just don't know if this is God's will for me, or man, would God really want me to help someone out this way? No. There's nothing holding you back. You've got no doubts about what the Word says because you're walking in freedom. There's nothing holds the wind back. You can't take a rope and tie up the wind. See, nothing will be able to hold you down. Nothing will be able to limit you as long as we have an application of the Word. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the word or from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now Jesus was quoting scripture here. See, because he's talking about, and Jesus answered, "It is written." This is really, really cool because I wanted to search where this was found. And Pastor Ashley's been talking about Deuteronomy. And it's a really cool thing about Deuteronomy. It means word and it means bees. And words, the word, can bring honey into your life like bees, or it can bring stinging. Well, if we want the sweetness that comes from the Word, then we've got to learn how to work around the Word. We've got to receive the Word into us. We've got to make ourselves familiar with it. Because it's in that familiarity that we get with the Word that we begin to be able to apply it. And if we want to truly live by the Word, then we have to have an understanding of it. Amen? So I have for you tonight 5 things that we need to do with the Word in our life so that we can have that freedom, so that we can understand how to apply it, so that we can use it to motivate, so that we can be untethered, okay? Now, understand, I'm not talking about an untetheredness like a crazy person who doesn't take care of themselves or wash or bathe or things like that. No, God's going to keep you centered, okay? And become, like I said, we talked about last week, super Christian. God's going to turn you into a super Christian, okay? But just where you're not bound by things. Okay, we've got to have these 5 things. And these are in no particular order. And I'm not telling you that these are everything that the Word can apply to. But I think if you can get these 5 down, it's a pretty great place to start. Okay? So the first one is we've got to keep the Word before us. Okay? Psalms 119:105 says, "Your Word is a lamp before my feet and a light on my path." Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. If we can keep the word in front of us, we're always going to have a clear picture of where we need to go. It's that moment that we forget to, have you ever been out hunting and you forgot your headlamp? You forgot your flashlight? And it's in the morning and you're trying to get into your spot and you're going, oh, crud. That's a tough trek in. You're running into stuff. You're getting hung up on briars. You're stepping into holes. I remember one time whenever I was a kid, we could only afford one headlamp. So I'm trying to follow as close as I can to my dad, you know, and of course, you know, every time he's pulling a tree back, he's trying to let me get underneath it, and about the time I get close to it, I'm getting whacked in the face or whatever. And I'm stepping in holes, and I'm running through briars, and I just remember getting down there to our spot finally. I just remember just falling asleep, and I slept the whole time. Because I just was so tired of getting smacked in the face and stepping in briars and different things. Get your own word. I remember telling my dad, "Dad, I got to get a headlamp. You got to get me my own headlamp. I ain't following you anymore, okay? This is no good." Get your own word. Don't try to follow spiritually behind just Pastor Ashley, behind Melanie, behind any of the other elders we've got in this church that can lead you. Don't depend solely on them to bring you something to light up your path. Because that's how you're going to feel going through life. You're going to be stepping into holes and getting caught on stuff and getting hung up, being bound, okay? Get your own word. Get it in front of you. Keep it before you, okay? So that's the first one. The second one is this, and I really, really like this verse. Do what it says. James 1:22. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do what it says. Do what it says. Now, I'm not saying this stuff is easy. It is simple, but it's not easy. Do what it says. So we deceive ourselves whenever we think that just because I'm in the vicinity of Christian stuff going on and I'm hearing the word that everything's going to be good in my life. It's kind of like the old adage, and this is kind of a overused scenario, but it's kind of like just because you stand in your garage, that doesn't make you a car. Okay, just because you're in the place of something, you don't all of a sudden just morph into that thing. It's the same thing with the Word of God. Just because you keep that Bible next to your bedstand at night, well, I sleep for 8 hours a night, you know, so I'm right next to it for 8 hours. No, you have to actually implement what it says. And man, I listen to Dave Ramsey, and man, he's got a lot of really good things to say about finances, but you know what? I don't do any of them. Okay, well, you're not going to change anything. You get what I'm saying? Just as silly as that sounds, you're not going to get anything out of the word if you're not doing what it says. So that's the second one. Do what it says. The third one is this: study the word. Study the word. Psalm 119:30. We're going way out there in Psalms. We're at the 119th one again. Psalm 119:30 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." I don't know about y'all, but sometimes, man, I feel like I've got to unfold some scripture a little bit. Man, and after I unfold it, you know what I find? Man, there's some more folds. I need to unfold that thing some more. And then after I've unfolded it, and then I go to sleep, the next day I need to get it back out, and I need to unfold it again. Because, man, I want to get that in me again. And I want to keep unfolding it and keep studying it and keep diving deeper, because what it's going to do is it's going to reveal light. It's going to give wisdom to the simple, understanding to the simple. I want to have understanding, okay? I want to have light. I want to have those things. So we have to study the word. Now, understand me, I get it. I get it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to find that time of, man, when can I just really study the word? You've got to make time. You can't afford to not to. Man, I can't afford, I just don't have no time. I can't afford. No, you really can't afford not to. Because it's only through an unfolding of the word. I think about your book being closed. It's only through an unfolding of the word that you're ever going to be able to study it, that you're only ever going to be able to get it in you. And it's important that if we're going to live according to the word, if we're going to live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, then we're going to have to study. We're going to have to study. So we've got to study the word. The fourth one is that we have to hold on to it. John 8:31 and 32 says, "To the Jews who had already believed him, Jesus said, 'If you will hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Man, it's hard to hold on to the word whenever people around you are constantly making you want to punch them. It's really hard. It's really, really hard whenever you're not wanting to pick up that offense, pick up that disappointment, pick up somebody else's mistake. When you're constantly having to grab all these other things, it's really, 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 really hard sometimes to hold on to the word. But we have to. We have to hold on to it. We can't let it go. We can't start backsliding. We can't put it to the side so that we can go do something else. No, we have to put our hands on the word, and we have to hold on to the teaching that we've received. The reason why we continue to find ourselves in a lot of times in these situations that we don't want to find ourselves in is because I guarantee that if we'll trace our steps back, there's been at some point a release of a care about the word. Maybe in that just that one situation, maybe over several weeks of time, we just allowed ourselves that word just to kind of slip out of our hands. Okay, we've got to hold on to it. We've got to get a firm grasp on it, and we've got to keep it close by, okay, so that we can wield it, so that we can use it. That's the fourth one. And the fifth one is this. And this one might be the hardest one. We have to let it dwell among us. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Let the word dwell among you. Man, in a world that seems so desperately, so angrily trying to do anything that it can to quash or squelch or smash or destroy any semblance of this thing happening, this seems like, okay, I can believe some shepherd boy killing a giant before I can believe that the word of God can truly dwell among me and the people in my community. But let me tell you where it starts with. It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with a group of people who can be like-minded, who can decide that, okay, everywhere else might be crazy, but you know what? Here, we're going to let the word dwell among us. We're going to do our best to live at peace with one another. We're going to greet each other with psalms. We're going to treat each other with kindness. We're going to try to act with gratitude and with grace towards one another. But man, you know what the thing about Christians is? They're just people. And man, you know what people need? Forgiveness. And if you need something, if you know something about forgiveness, you're going to have to go back and listen to Mel's message from a couple weeks ago. Doing our best to let the word dwell among us is going to take our effort. And then whenever someone else lets down the slack and you have an opportunity to go along with them, guess what? Don't. Continue to let it dwell. Well, then what do I do if someone offends me again? You let it dwell. And then you know what happens when someone else offends you again? You just let it dwell. You forgive them and you let it dwell. 70 times 7. One of the disciples said, "How many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times 7? No, 70 times 7. Okay, that's not for you to sit there and start tallying off. All right. 439. 438. No. What I was trying to say is we just keep doing it. We just keep allowing that stuff to dwell. Let the Spirit of the Lord dwell. Let the Word dwell, and none of that other stuff will. But it's going to take you keeping it alive. The word, it's just the word. It's a simple message, but it's true. If we want to continue to go on like we talk about all the time at this church, I love this church. It's full of growth. Some of the best people on the face of the planet. My favorite people are here. I love being here. I love serving here. I love being someone who gets to preach the word here. I love teaching at the school that we have. I love being a coach at the school that we have. I love operating as a youth pastor for this church. But if we want all those things, we're going to have to continue in our growth and our maturity in the Word. That's whenever Hebrews 4:12 starts to become alive. "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." That alive and active part, it can hurt. That separating and dividing soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart doesn't always feel good when we're keeping the word before us, lighting things up that we would rather have covered by darkness. It's not always going to feel good when you're actually trying to apply the word to your life whenever your life doesn't line up with the word of God. It's not always going to feel good whenever you're trying to take the time to unfold the word before you and keep it unfolding and keep it unfolding whenever everything else is trying to pull you some other direction. It's not always going to feel good when you're trying to hold on to that word and the world is trying to constantly wrench it out of your hands and try to give you some disparaging situation to read about on the news or some offense or some pain or some disappointment or something to try to give to you. It's not always going to feel good, especially when we're trying to let the word dwell among us. And it can be hard, especially with people in today's day and age, seems so dead set against it. But my question to you is this: what other choice do we have? What other avenue do we have to access the authority, the power, the anointing of God other than through his word? The answer is we can't. We can't get it in some rock star preacher. We can't get it in more lights and more this. We can't get it out of any other avenue. It's all found in the word. Your only hope for your situation, the only thing that can help you say, take up your mat, is because the word says so. And that tonight is my encouragement with you. So you guys go ahead and stand with me.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.